The Pasuk in Dvarim, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Tezayin, says, V'ekach es roshe shifteichem anoshim chachomim v'yiduim v'etei nisam roshim aleichem sorei alofim v'sorei meis v'sorei chamishim v'sorei asoreis v'shoitim l'shifteichem. He took, Moshe Rabbeinu took, with the advice of Yisrael, he created a structure of dayonim, where there was going to be sorei alofim, leaders of thousands, sorei meis, leaders of hundreds, sorei chamishim, v'sorei asoreis, leaders of fifties and leaders of tens. If you make a cheshbon, it comes out that there are in excess of 78,000 dayonim at the time of the Dor HaDeah, the Torah Midbar. We need it out of 600,000. If you make the cheshbon, the Gemara and Sanhedrin makes the cheshbon, comes out, I believe it's 78,600 dayonim. The Mefoshim asks the obvious kasha, why in the world do we need so many dayonim? It means it's more than 1/8 of Klal Yisrael were dayonim. Why in the world do we need so many dayonim? Especially during the Dor HaDeah, where there wasn't much to need dayonim altogether. There was no business. Everything was Eichlei Haman. Everything was given to them. There was no point in, no need to have any type of commerce. Why then do we need so many dayonim? Apparently there were many, many Dinei Torah. I can tell you my experiences when I went to Eretz Yisrael to Rav Nissen Karelitz Shlita. I can tell you that the average day they have must about 18 Torah a day. You can imagine that we're talking about the amount of Dinei Torah astronomical. I think I would like to suggest the following shot. The way we know what a Din Torah is, the connotation of a Din Torah is where there's a sichsuch between two people, a fight. By the time it got to a Din Torah, they're long not speaking to each other. That wasn't the case in the Dor HaMidbar. That's not the type of Dinei Torah that Chazal were referring to. Api halacha, when someone asks a shayla in Yoredeya, it's enough, he goes by himself, and he asks a rav. What you need is one rav, one baldin, and you have the shayla in the tshuva. In Chayshim Mishver, api halacha, you need two balidinim present, and you need three dayanim for every shayla. The shaylas were the adarabah, because they were the Dor HaDeah, because they were the Dor HaMidbar, and they knew the halacha, therefore, they were keen, they were aware of the prati pratim and all the possibilities of the shaylas that arose on a daily basis. And even though they did not do commerce, they still had that many shaylas. If one would be aware of all the pratim and be knowledgeable on Chayshim Mishpat, clearly he would see, I can attest to it, I have a brother-in-law who's been working on Chayshim, he's a doctor, he was here for Shabbos, he was working on Chayshim Mishpat now for maybe 5-6 years. He zicha has at least a shayla a week in Chayshim Mishpat. He's not even in business, he's a doctor, but afal pi kein, he has at least a shayla a week. And who are these dayanim? 78,000 dayanim, who are these dayanim? Clearly they weren't Rav Moshe Feinstein's. You can't expect that in a Dor HaDeah, 1/8 were the Poiske Hador. Obviously the Uiz, the Manhigim, so they were just the Hamoinam. They weren't even the Rabbonim. Every Rav has to have at least Chacham Minyan. Here we have people who had one out of every eight. These people were Adarava, the Hamoinam, the Bnei Torah, who were willing to go that extra step, who were willing to be more learned in these halachas, that when their friends, their associates, their partners, their neighbors, the people who sit next to them in shul, whoever it is, who has a shayla in Chayshim Mishpat, they have someone to refer the shayla to. And usually they knew. If they didn't know, they passed it on to the Sarei Chamishim, who took it a step further, and so on. These weren't what we know today as the Gedalei Adar, they weren't the Paiskim of the Dar. But they were people who are willing to act as a Paisik, act at least as a mini Paisik in terms of day-to-day shailas that arose to alleviate the burden on Moshe Rabbeinu. They were able to take care of the easy shailas. They were able to tumble in the shaila. If you're knowledgeable and you could share the knowledge with others, that's beautiful. I would like to say that if the people here tonight in attendance, I would like to say that all of you who decided to attend a Choshev Mishpat Shir, obviously that itself shows that you're willing to take it the extra step and be more learned. And in this, in a very real sense, you are the Sarei Asaris of Lakewood. If there will be a Shaylin, you'll be aware of not only in your personal experiences, but if your neighbor or your friend would have a Shaylin, he has someone to talk to. He knows that you're learning Choshev Mishpat and these in Yonim. He'll be able to, you know, use you as a soundboard. If you know, that's great. You should know at least the halachas that we cover. If you have a deeper shaila, then you can go on and ask the Rav. You can go on further. But it's something that everyone here could act as the Sarei Asaris of Lakewood. The structure of the shir in this series, we're going to try to use the Shulchan Aruch as the base. We're going to learn the Shulchan Aruch inside. I'll probably stop after every few words. I'm going to hopefully give you enough of a backdrop coming from the Gemara and the Rishonim and the Poskim prior to the Shulchan Aruch, and then take it from there after the Shulchan Aruch, fill in like a type of a form of a Mishnah Berurah, fill in the Tshuvos and the Minhagim and the Shailas that came after the Shulchan Aruch. I would like to also apply the Shulchan Aruch L'mais on certain cases which arose in Dinei Torah that we had, or Dinei Torah that I'm aware of, and to bring it down to life, to bring it to earth, that the Olam should appreciate it. And after every sif, Miyat Hashem, I'll stop and I'll pause to take questions. And if I catch, it'll be Rav Cheshmeitzer from Purple Chaverim. This series, we're starting with the Hilchos Anoah Mekach Tois. Anoah is from Reish Chav Zayin through Reish Lamed Aleph, in a way. And Mekach Tois starts from Reish Lamed Beis and so on. I would like to start with Reish Lamed Beis. Even though the Mechaber put Reish Chav Zayin first, I'm going to start with the Hilchos of Mekach Tois, which is basically Reish Lamed Beis, Reish Lamed Gimel, Reish Lamed Dalet. Hopefully afterwards, Miyat Hashem will go back to Anoah. Okay. Starting the first halach in Simen Reish Lamed Beis. This halacha comes from a Gemara. Rabbi said this memra. It's one line of Rabbi's memra. Hamoicha lechaveru b'mida b'mishkal b'minyan. Someone who sells to his friend an amount, whether it's b'mida, b'mishkal, a weight, or b'minyan, or in units, let's say, he sold you 10 packages of something. V'tar b'choshu, and he made a mistake in the amount. Choyzer loylam. The halacha is that the one who was nisana, the one who was ripped off, even b'shegeg, but the one who was shortchanged is chayzer loylam. He has a right to go back to the seller. Let's say if the lokeach got fewer items than he ordered, he has a right to go back to the meicher and ask for to be filled in. Let's say he ordered 100 things and he got 90. He goes back to the meicher and says, "Look, I'm missing 10 items. Here it is." And the Mechaber says that he's chayzer loylam. He has a right to be chayzer forever. There's no time limit. It's in contrast to Anoah, which we didn't yet learn. Where there is a time constraint, here there's no limit, he has a right to be chayzer loylam whenever he finds out that he was shortchanged. Obviously, once he does find out when he's shortchanged, the Mefarshim say, then he has a limited time frame to go back to the Meicha to fix the deal. He can't keep this forever, otherwise we assume that he was Meichel. But he has the time, with chayzer loylam, he has the time forever to find out about his problem. And the Mechaber says as well, v'tar b'choshu, even if it's a koshu, even if it's a mashu, there's no amount. Also in contrast to Anoah, where there's going to be a limitation, there has to be a certain amount that he's overcharged. Here it's not true. Even if it's a mashu, he has a right to go back. The Mechaber says, why is this different than Anoah? Shein Anoah elo bedomim. Anoah is only in the price. Have a b'cheshbin, in a cheshbin where the Mefarshim say you can be more accurate. Therefore, you don't need there's no flexible amount of, let's say, shtus, which is by Anoah, even a mashu, you could be chayzam. And the Mechaber gives an example. What's this example? Keitzad. Mokhloi mea goizim bedina. If you sell 100 nuts for a dina, v'nimtza kuf aleph oitzadites. And it's found that you either got too much, you got 101, oitzadites, or you're shortchanged and you received only 99. Now, loch is nikna hamekach or machze hatois. The mekach is kayim, or machzer ha-toyiz, and whoever shortchanged the other person receives the toyiz that he was shortchanged. V'afilu acha kamashonim. Now, what does this mean, a nikna mekach or machzer ha-toyiz? This is a machloikis rishonim. There's a machloikis Ramban with the Rashba. The Ramban holds that the reason why here it's nikna ha-mekach is because really there's a cause of concern. Really, there's a cause to break the neck, since he was shortchanged. But because the other person has the ability to fill in, to correct the mekach, let's say in this case, I only sold you 99 nuts, and I have the ability to now deliver you that extra nut and to be mashlim to 100, therefore the mekach is kayim. Namely, whenever something's wrong in a mekach, if it's something considerably wrong, that itself is grounds for a mekach toys. But if the other person has the capability of fixing it, of sort of being mesalik your taina is that you were shortchanged. Oh, you were shortchanged, no problem. I'll fill it up for you. That's a stop. That puts a stop on your taina, and therefore the mekach is kayim. And to use his lashon, it's something which is efshel hashlima. If you could be mashlim, it's midin hashlama. If you could be mashlim the problem, that stops it from being a mekach tois. Now, the Mefarshim explained that what does it mean you could be mashlim? It doesn't necessarily mean that he has to actually give you that 100th nut. He could give you the money that it costs to get that 100th nut. If, let's say, nuts go $1 a nut, he'll give you $1 and say, now you can go into the store and go buy that nut. And that's fine. That's considered to be mashlim the problem. The Rashba, on the other hand, learns not like that. The Rashba says that midu mishkol aminyan, this problem, when you're missing an amount of units or whatever, is unique. It's unlike any other problem. It's unlike mum, which we're going to learn shortly. It's unlike onah. It's understood that if I buy 100 nuts for $100, it's understood that I could prorate. It's understood that I'm really buying one nut for a dollar. And therefore, if I was delivered 99 nuts, then we'll prorate the mechira, we'll prorate the price. If I got 99% of my goods, then I'm going to give you 99% of the sale. If it's $100 for 100 nuts, I got 99 nuts, I give you $99. And that's midin. It's not a tiny mitzad mekach tois. There's no grounds for a mekach tois. Even if it was a major ripoff, even with Yais Mishtas, let's say he only delivered 50 nuts out of the 100, still the mekach is kaim. His only right, his only recourse to the mecher is that let's prorate the sale. Now, obviously, this is talking about the Yad Ramah qualifies this halacha. He goes with the Shitas of Rashba. It's obviously talking about where a person could prorate it. It's not like he needs a certain item in its shleimus. For example, if a guy wants a size 40 suit and you deliver him a size 38, we don't prorate the machine and say, well, I'll give you 38 out of 40, I'll give you 95% of the sale price. We're talking about something that items are individual items, even though you order it as a complete package, but it's understood that you could be, if you get half of your invoice, if you get half of your delivery, then you have to pay half. And there's a clear nafkamina between the two rishonim. The obvious nafkamina is what happens if you have something that the moicher is not capable of being mashlim. It's unique. Or the rishonim give an example that we're talking about karka. Let's say you ordered a lot. The guy told you he's selling you a lot, 80 by 125. And it comes out it was only 80 by 120. You're going to go back to the moicher and say, give me another 5 feet. He doesn't have the 5 feet to give you. It belongs to someone behind you. He can't give it to you. If he cannot be mashlim the mekach, then according to the Ramban, this would be a mekach toys. And it wouldn't be the halacha of nikna mekach or makzeh toys. According to the Rashba, one could argue, depending on the case, but if it's considered that 80 by 120 and 80 by 125 is both acceptable, or just a little smaller, then you could prorate the mechira accordingly. That's one obvious nafkamina. Another nafkamina is, well, it will come out to be, at least in the Ramban, just to focus in the Ramban of Hashlomo, where even if you could prorate, I'm going to show you this nafkamina, is that let's say like the Ramban, I ordered 100 nuts for $100, and I got 90 nuts, now it's $90. Now you're missing 10 nuts. Let's say the price of nuts went up now. I'm keeping this example of nuts, even though it's maybe a little cheap, but that's the example that the Mechaber gives. We can do it to anything. It could be any goods, it could be gasoline, it could be any commodity. And now the price went up. If the din that I have, the right that the Mech has to prevent you from claiming a Mech of choice is based on Hashlama, then you have to be capable of now being Mashlim. For me to give you $10 now is not going to help, because now the price of nuts went up. I have to give you enough money now that you're eligible, you have the wherewithal to complete the Mechira and buy the 10 nuts. With according to the Rashba, all I have to do is take your $90, give you back the $10 of change, and I walk myself, that's it, I'm free. Because we prorated the mechir, you only got 90 out of 100. That's a simple machlokes between the Rashba and the Rabban. We're going to revisit it shortly, but I would like to continue and finish up the Mechaba. According to Rabban, you would have to be mashlam. Let's say that the price of nuts doubles, and now it's $2 a nut. I would have to give you $20 to be mashlam these 10 nuts instead of $10. Means I have to give you the yecholis to finish off the Mechach.
Correct.
Or the Mekach is bottled, correct. And if you're already raising the point, I'll mention it here, is that the Moicher has that option. That means, let's say you come back now crying that you only received 90 nuts, and let's say it did go up in price. And the Moicher makes a question, why should I go and give him extra money to fill the Mekach? I'll call his bluff, maybe other rabbits, even Kedai for me. And I'll tell him, I'm not interested in being Mashlan. If you'd like, keep it as it is, and I'll keep my money. If you claim rightfully so that there's a discrepancy here, you paid $100 for 100 nuts, you only got 90, no problem. I'll take back the seal, and I'll give you back your $100, and give me back my 90 nuts, and we'll call it a day. The Moicher has no chiv, he has no responsibility. You can't force him to be mashlim. It's his option to be mashlim to prevent you from claiming a mekach tois. If he likes, he can opt to work with you, he could opt to just take it back, he could opt to call your bluff, it means the ball's in his court. Whereas according to the Rashba, it's set. We automatically prorate the mechira. So if you got 90 out of 100, then we're going to prorate the price to be 90 out of 100 as well. And that's it, it's finished. In which case, in the Rashba, if the Rashba, you don't have a right to claim a mecha toys, you only have a right to fix, readjust the price, and that, of course, if the lokek, the one who's in the sound is going to be the one who wants to readjust the price. Whoever it does, correct. And according to Rashba, he cannot. He can. According to Rashba, it's set. According to Rashba, it's automatically set. The mecca is automatically kind. All you do is prorate the sale. It's not a chayt, you loved after he did it the mazik. It might have been a mistake. You know, a lot of times you have an order and it was still wrong. What, now? Now maybe, no, it's worth it to him. He has that right. If there's something wrong with the mecca, he has the right to claim the mecca toys. That is the right that the nisana has as well. If the nisana claims mecca toys and the mecca could say, well, fine, I'll take it. That's what you claim, that mecca toys. Okay, so let's pull in mecca toys. If you want, we could be... With all the halachas which we're going to learn, whether it's onom, dagatoy, smum, yafes, zeroy, shneiminim, throughout, which we're going to see all those, mitzvahs, all of them, in order to fix, adjust, correct, tiny mekta, whatever it is, you need a claim. But before the claim, everything is fine. Correct, doesn't automatically, like if you're going to sell a moon, which we'll see shortly, it's not all of a sudden that the sale is automatically void. It's not true. You have to come with a claim. And if the claim is pitayr, if the claim is, you have that claim, you have the right to break the mekach, then fine, and the mekach is broken. Here he comes with a claim, let's adjust, give me back the 10 nuts that's missing. The mekach could say, fine, I'll give it to you, or the mekach could say, jump in the lake, and let's, you want a mekach toys, we'll call it a mekach toys. Sorry? If there's no claim, he's potter, correct. Correct. He's now let a, we're going to learn other halakas, that he's now let a knowingly do this, because that could be a surim involved. But here we're talking about Cheshem Mishmim Mitzad, the moment it's involved, what are his rights, his recourse, what's the remedy to this problem that... Because he didn't have to do it, b'mezid. Even if he did it b'mezid, it would have the same halacha. Just if he did it b'mezid, he would have other isurim. No, Tar is the receiver. The recipient didn't do this b'mezid. The recipient was rooked, right? He was.
He can only give 60. He can't be mashlamit. So
you prorate the seal, 60 out of 100.
What if he needs 100?
So that's what I mentioned before. If you could view it as a suit, like I wanted a size 40, you gave me a size 38, so you gave me 95% of the suit, that's worthless to me. That would be that case. It's going to be the call of the dayan to know in a specific situation, is it something that cannot? I should add, once I'm on the, I should add that Loiter Ashba, There's one nekuda, one knech to be meisav on the Rashba, and that is that that which the Rashba says, you automatically prorate the mechira, that's only if the seller doesn't have the missing goods. But let's say I order, which is very often the case, and usually the case, I should say, that I ordered 100 items from a company, and they only shipped me 90, and now I come back and I want the other 10, and the company has it. There, the company can't say, let's just prorate the mechir and call it a day. We can't do that. If the seller had it at the time of the sale and he refuses to deliver it, then the lokeh could say that let's call it a mekach tois. Which now the Rashba is going a little closer to the Ramban, and we're trying to keep them apart. But that is that in a case where it's e'ef shel hashlim, where the seller doesn't have it, like by karka, that's a clear difference between the Ramban and the Rashba. According to Ramban, it's going to be a mekach tois because he cannot correct the sale. According to the Rashba, we'll prorate the sale. But if something that the seller has in his possession and the lokeach is asking him to fill the mekach and he doesn't want to cooperate, then the lokeach could claim a mekach tois. When does the mekach have to have it? Yeah, that's a good shaila. The mefarshim explained. It's not. There is no clear right to that. That's a good taina. Correct. Correct. The initiation of the claim has to be the one who is nisan. The one who is victimized has to start the claim. Correct.
He has to say the words mekach
tois. He has to come back. Look, I'm missing 10.
But he's coming back. I'm missing 10. Give me the 10.
Well, that is not a Torah to katan. There is no such time now, Peter. He has no right to claim for 10. He has a right to claim that it's a mekach tois. So what are you claiming? Saying that something's wrong in the sale. So you want a mekach tois. A pitur is the only claim you have. You never made a kinyan on the other 10. He has no responsibility. He has the money, so that's the Ramban, the Rashba. There's something wrong with him. But according to Ramban, if he could be mashlim, he can't be mashlim. Which case he would like to take?
No, according to Ramban, where he gave him $100 for 100 things, he only got 90.
Which he has. I mean, he can come. He can come. You know, realistically, he can say, you know, if you give me the 10, I won't complain. But that's not his taina. His taina pitayr is rooted in mekach tois. Because he doesn't have a chayv. I bought something. I come to you and I want to buy a black table, and he delivered me, which we're going to see later. He delivered me a white table.
But that's not the case with there. Nuts.
Which, what kinyan did you make? You didn't make a kinyan. You only made a kinyan on the actual nuts that you received, which were only 90. The kesef is not koina.
You haven't paid to deliver the goods.
Maybe mishapara, but once we now translated it onto a chayfetz, we said this 90, we assumed that this 90 was 100, but we said this 90 is the deal, and you gave me money for this package, and there was only 90 in it, so now there's something wrong with the deal. You were shortchanged on the deal. So your tiny is mekach tois. My tiny is, okay, fine, I'll fix it. But it's a Ramban, and if I can't fix it, it's going to be a mekach tois.
What about an hefset? If there's an hefset that's caused, that in fact I only gave him 90, that he lost, that he couldn't fulfill his LKS customer's obligation.
That's like Menias Harev. It goes into Ilchus Groma. I would rather not get into it, but no likelihood he's not going to be chayv for that. Correct.
The other way, if the guy bounced the check,
yeah, that's a simple case. That's the second he makes a kinyan on a chayvitz, and he, you know, whatever the sale price was, turns into a chayv. That's a regular chayv.
Didn't pay the full money, gave cash, and he that's also a chayv.
If you didn't give the full money, and but he made a kinyan on the chayvitz. Once he makes a kinyan on the chayvitz, he owes the money that amount of money. That's a chayv. That's a chayv. We're going to see now shortly, but sorry. Well, the Mechaber says Chayzer Lo'olam. He has Lo'olam to find out about the problem, but once he finds out about the problem, he has to come in a reasonable amount of time. What exactly that is, it's not clear, but he has to come as soon as possible, whatever is considered reasonable. We're going to go into Moi shortly, but a different type when it's Peshas in that guy. Let's continue with the Mechaber. Here is talking about, let's say we decide we're going to, this is at the time of the sale, we say we're selling it for $100, and it comes out that you gave me by accident too much, you gave me $105, so I have to return that $5. Or if you gave me too little, if you gave too little money, you only gave me $95, so then pashtis, it turns into a choy. But if he, here's where it gets a little technical. I don't want to really sit on this, but if the money was used to create the kinyan, and we assume that the kinyan was done with $100 and only done with $90, then we could have a problem, because then a proper kinyan wasn't made, and then we're going to go back to the regular halacha. But I'd rather just get past this here. Even after the deal was finished, we hand shook, we made a proper kinyan, tis only the Rav Kadamusa, and we said, okay, I don't know you anything, you don't know me anything. Choyza, he still, if he realizes that he overpaid, he has a right to get back the money. So when he made the kinyan and said, like, okay, we're even, it was betois. He didn't really mean that he was even. Now there's a case of. There's a case of the Bach, which really you have to know halacha later on, but it's nogei here. I'm going to mention it here. There's halacha by mum. If I purchase something and I find the mum in the item, I have a right to go back to the seller and claim a mekach tois. What happens if I notice the mum and thereafter I still use the item? I bought a suit and I noticed there was a problem with the suit, but I still wore the suit. There's halacha, the second you know that there's a mum, and you have a right to be mevatel l'mekach, because you continue using it, if you mishdamish with the chavitz, that constitutes a mechila, and you no longer katayin mekach toys. So halacha later on, we're going to go into more barich later on, but I would like to apply it here. The backup applies it.
It said, kol kestam in the kef of Rav Shalom, you call mum. Right? So it seems to be that even if it doesn't affect how it works, but they will have a scratch. Here's a mashma.
Because here you're not buying it, Latasha Shamiti, you're not buying it. If it would be such a thing. I know, but if you have a scratch in the refrigerator, it might bother you. If it would if you would go under the thing, it's kimul ab b'nei medina shum mum shem nagzirin bar ezem mekach, then you'll be magzirin even by a refrigerator. So you know people who don't buy butlers because they have bad breath? I mean, if you tell them next time to stay a few feet away. I'm just saying, you would have to done every situation separately. If you buy a car and it's scratched up, people are makbid.
Because that type of person buys it to look carnally good.
Oh, so you see that sometimes items could also have a aesthetic purpose. It's partially, obviously, the primary use of a car, the function is to drive, but you could have other things which go on into it, right?
It's interesting.
I think now he's qualifying it. I don't think it's evidence the difference. The difference is that word, it has to be shalom mikom mum. It has to be shalom mikom mum, which interferes with its purpose. Now, if the purpose is for beauties, and it interferes with its purpose. If the purpose is only for malacha, then these problems do not interfere. I think this is just a qualification, what it means, shalom mikom mum. All right, any other questions? Okay, let's go on to Sefiot Aleph. Truth of the matter is, I want to bring out one more point to Sif Yud, and that is that you see from Sif Yud, Agav, which we're going to discuss shortly, but I may as well mention it to you now here, is that you could have something which is a mum, even though it's not definite. And that is, let me explain. You could have something, let's say here, the case is that he was a muktiv l'malchus, or he was a list of mezuyin. And nareiz a mum, amam beit eskulu one, if neisha melech teifis, I say vargoy. He's on the wanted list, the melech could come and catch him. Now, we don't know that the melech is going to do that. The melech is after him, but lav dafka, the melech is going to succeed. So therefore, one could have said, look, you know, until it happens, until there's that problem, until he's taken away, why is there a mum? Why is there a grounds for a mekach tois? And from the mechavi, see, not like that. If you have a problem,
why should it be mechilo if the halacha is that the mekach is really kaim and you just machzir hatois? Why should it be a mechilo?
L'chare, this 90 is always going to remain yours. So why does the constitute a mechila if you use the 90, and the 90 belongs to you, and he just owes you another 10? And the reason is, Pasha, because
you're not allowing him an option to give it back. He has to have the right to say, okay, give it all back to me.
Who, the seller?
The money has to have the right.
Correct. That's what I'm going to say. According to the Ramban, since the halach of Nikna Mekha Maksa Toys, that he has the right to be mashlim, is not a chiv, he's not mechuyiv to do that, nor of us, he has that option. If he decides to call your bluff and say, you know, let me have a mekach tois and give me back the item, if once you started to use it, now you're using the mekach item. And that is the reasoning behind the halakha later on, when you use something after a mum, that it's considered a mechila. Because if I plan on giving it back, why using someone else's suit? You're a goslin. Al-Kokh, if you're using it anyway, must be the reason why you're using it is because you're a mechum. That's the same thing here. If you receive 90, you were shortchanged indeed, but if your tiny is mekatois and the melech would like to offer a mekatois, you cannot use that 90 either, because that 90 remains the melech's. And if you're going to use it, it belives the mechila. That's very nice according to the Ramban. But according to the Rashba, apparently the Bakhtin holds the Rashba, according to the Rashba, you cannot say that. According to the Rashba, that we automatically prorate the mechira, if you're going to prorate the deal,
then the 90 is going to remain yours no matter what. And he just owes you 10% back from the sale price. So therefore, if you would use the item, that would not constitute a mechila. And it's meduyik like that in the Rambam, Ashtikl and Mechab as well. I'm not going to get into it, because you have to know Sif Gimel later on. But it's meduyik in the Rambam that mechila here will not work. Mechila would not, nishtamshes here would not constitute a mechila. And the reason is because, like the Mefarshim say, the Rambam holds like the Rashba. Meduyik, not everyone agrees with that, but according to a lot of Rishonim, Mefarshim, the Rambam holds like the Shita's Rashba. And therefore, using it will not constitute a mechila, because this 90, this whatever you deliver to me is going to remain mine no matter what. So therefore, it will not constitute a mechila because it's mine. You just owe me 10% of the sale.
So, put Ramban, if I notify him, but I don't give him the option to get back to me.
No, if you notify him, then you. Once you notify the problem.
You delivered 90, you owe me 10. So I didn't give him the option to get back to me and say, all right, give me back the 90. Is that enough for me to be considered that it's mine?
Let me clarify this a bit. This concept of the Machne Ephraim, which is based upon a Ritva, that if you notify the Meicher and you continue to use it, it does not constitute a Mechila. The Machne Ephraim says it by Mum, and we are applying it here to Mido Mishkalom Ninyin. The Ritva is talking about a case where you mishtamish with it. True, maybe it gets a little ruined when you use it, but it's not like you're selling it off. We don't have a raya that once you notify the Meicher, you're allowed now to sell off the items that you have. So if the 90 you have and you want to know, could you sell it off, in all likelihood, that will not be permitted. If you want to know, could you use it, let's say you ordered 3 Palm Pilots and only 2 arrived, and you want to know if that's fine, possibly it is, if you could assume that the Meicher picked up the messages from his answering machine.
Machaber say that the Meicher can call the glove.
Now the Machaber says Nikna Hamekach Omakzir Atoyz. That's all he says. But you see that you can learn both Pshat and the Machaber, although the Machaber is more Madik like the Rashbab. You can learn either Pshat and the Machaber. The Mefarshim have this Machlekes. Either it means Nikna Hamekach, why? Because Umakzatoyz, it goes hand in hand. Because you have the eligibility to be Makzatoyz, therefore it's Nikna Mekka, that's Ramban. Or no, it's two separate things. It's Nikna Mekka because we're prorating the deal. And what's the halacha, Makzatoyz, you prorate the Mechira.
Hashid and Mechabashir have said each one has an option to back off. And if you want,
If you meant like the Ramban, he's a little sus. Yeah, there are the Yukim that would seem that the Mechabah holds like the Rashba. Yeah, there is a case, good question. The case that we mentioned that if the seller had the item, there the Rashba is moida that the mechir is bottom, still using it would not constitute the mechila, and I'll explain why. According to that svara of the Ramah, that if the seller has the item, even the Rashba is moida, I can claim that.
He could
have noticed the mum, even not machmas to kriya. It was something that if he would have he could have discerned that there was a problem with this fabric, it was defective, even before he cut it up. But he didn't bother to do it, and he continued, and he cut it up. And then he noticed the mum. So when he cut it up, he had not yet noticed the mum, but he could have noticed the mum. So the preacher says, then the halacha would be different. And there's a machloikis, exactly what's going to be. But let's just take one simple tzad, is that if you could have noticed the mum before you went and damaged the item, and you continued to damage the item, that will constitute a mechila. Right, but every other hishtamshes is I already noticed the mum, and then I'm hishtamshes, it's in my faith. Why am I using someone else's item? Here, I didn't notice the mum yet. I could have noticed the mum. I could argue and say, look, I have to be busy with this and trying to discern every problem with it. Let me make the shirt, and if it's a good shirt, it works. If it's not a good shirt, it doesn't work. No, you see from the Machaber that before you start ruining someone else's item, you have to try to discern if it's a mum for the intended purpose. If you're going to buy wood to build the furniture, and there's a defect in this wood, and you could have noticed this problem before you cut it down to size and made it into a table or whatever it was, and you didn't, you don't have a right to tanya mekach toyz. Others say you still have a right to tanya mekach toyz, but then he could mourn you for the damage that you did. You're a mazik on the thing. But let's just take the other side. Let's take it extreme. So now getting back to your safer case, if you purchased a safe and it was something that you could have noticed before you stamped your name in it, maybe you should, like this machaber, it's something that you might have a chiv to do, and if you didn't bother and you stamped your name anyway, now the seller can't use a Reuven safer to sell if his name's in it, so then that might constitute a mechila. Or you might have chach, at least a halacha of a mazik, and you have to pay him for a hezek. There was a case that someone purchased slippers for a kid right before camp. It was June, they purchased
slippers the day before packing up to go to camp, and of course he named everything, and then while they're packing, he knows it was two right slippers. Well, that's something that you could have easily noticed before you put the name on it. You could have noticed that you don't have a normal pair there, and if it's something like that, then you'd be either chayev al tzmazik, or altogether you have no right to claim a mekach toys.
Buy summer wardrobe and you don't look at it until next summer, and I come back.
In what case? Where is with mishtamish with it? Correct. Like the Ramban, once you pay the mechila, you noticed the discrepancy and you decided to use it anyway. That's a mechila, and you have no claim on the mechila. The mechila can keep the money. Pashas, it only applies to a year. I would like to save it to later to Sif Gimel, but we're going to go into that discussion. When it applies to a guy, when it doesn't. Granted, if the minig is that when you're shortchanging an invoice, the minig is that he allows you to use it and he's going to fill the order, definitely this halakha will not apply. That means he's automatically granting you this kiyum. If there's such a minig, to create a minig has to be, which is shin lamed aleph, has to be a real minig. It's not so simple to accomplish. What's normal? A minig has to be talk tegel. It has to happen often, and this is how it's done, and he never asks you back. There's never a tiny mega toys. It's constantly like that. If that's the case, it's true. I don't know that to be the case, but I could hear that. It's reasonable that should be the minig. And what was it? If you get a grocery and they're missing one item, you mean? We're going to get to that shortly. One second. Let me just share with you a case. There was a case that someone here in Lakewood ordered blinds. He moved into a new home. It was the beginning of the summer. And he ordered blinds for his home. He moved in, I believe it was a Wednesday or a Thursday, then he moved into his house. The blinds were delivered on Thursday. He ordered blinds for this whole house. It came out as Nimsa that he had blinds for the top two floors, for the basement, the blinds weren't delivered. So it was already, I think it was a Thursday evening already, and he contacted the Moicha. Well, it was the beginning of the summer. The Moicha takes a weekend vacation in the mountains. The Moicha wasn't around. And he came with the following shayla. He really doesn't mind not having blinds in the basement, but for his bedroom window and the dining room window, he would like to put up the blinds. May he put up the blinds and ask the Moicha to fill the order for the basement windows, or if he's going to use these blinds, will they constitute a mechila? I asked him, did he pay already? And of course he did. So I told him, well, now you're running into a machlokes Ramban and Rashba, and if you're going to be mishtamish with it, now it constitutes a mechila, and therefore, al pi halacha, you're allowed to use the blinds, but you should know what you're getting into. If you're going to use these blinds, you might be running into a problem. However, I asked him the following shayla, which is l'chayr the mitzis, and that takes care of most of the cases. Saved it for last. There's an Avnei Nezah. I asked him the following question. When you ordered the blinds, was it an itemized bill, or did they give you one wrap price for the whole package? Normally it's itemized, and that's what it was. He said itemized. Each bedroom window has a different measurement, and each blind was different, and he has an itemized bill exactly for each window. There's an Avnei Nezah which says, once it's an itemized bill, you know, one this product is $10, that product is $20, etc., so then the items that you receive, that's how many, means it blinds like 100 different, if you order 100 blinds, it blinds like you really created with the mecha, you consummated a deal of 100 different mechirs at once, and if he filled you 90 mechirs, that's very nice, but those 90 mechirs have nothing to do with the other 10 mechirs. So these mechirs are fine. And that was the case, and therefore he was able to use his blinds on the bedroom window, the dining room, whatever he needed it for, even though he didn't get the basement windows because it was a separate deal. Each bill was different. And if we're back to your case with grocery, since it's an itemized bill, milk, chulu, those which were delivered were delivered, those which weren't delivered were not delivered, and therefore were not constituted a machine. Sorry? The Moicha sold them the blinds for the whole house, and he delivered four-fifths of the blinds. So since each blind had its separate price on the bill, that's what was invoiced separately.
What does he want to do? He wants to use the blinds that were delivered in the basement?
No. He wants to use the dining room window for the dining room, the bedroom window for the bedroom, but he didn't have the basement windows.
What if the Moicha would have given them a 10% discount on the bottom of the bill? Could the Moicha then said that the discount applies to the whole bill and therefore comes to the bill? Yeah. Or could he have still said it's a separate here? $5,000 bill, I'm taking all $500.
He should be able to take a discount. No, but he's saying that he might have only given the discount. Right, he wants to know, maybe that will...
Right. Does that make it into one
mechira? I missed it. It's a good shayla. I don't know. I mean, you have to know why is Moshe giving this and that can't practice only because he ordered so much.
Usually that's the way it works. If you do a large order, they'll give you a discount. So.
And had I taken, let's say, the blinds without the basin, he wouldn't give me the discount?
If you would have gone in there and ordered every week another $10 blind, he would not give him a...
Correct. But let's say in my case, of the blinds, let's say he gave him 80% of the blinds. He ordered, just for example, he ordered 50 blinds and he was delivered 40.
I'm just asking the question whether a Moshe can have a kind.
No, I want to know. Let's say in that case he gave a 10% discount. I mean, is a 10% discount only because he ordered the whole package, or a 10% discount is because he ordered a large volume, but maybe that large volume was already met. The threshold where he gives a discount was already met. We can argue. It's a very good child. I'm just... Yeah, Avni Nezer Onginu. We're going to see something very similar to Avni Nezer later on. It's a Beis Shleim, a Devei Chaim. It uses the same type of Svara, Lagabi, a different halacha by Mum, but it's this, Lachar is similar to Lamdis, but it's Onginu, yes. Yeah, but again, it's itemized. Every milk...
Five times.
Yeah, but again, it's six times. It's just a quick way of writing $1.59, $1.59, $1.59. He's not giving you a price, not being conveying you or fixing you a price because you ordered the package. Sometimes if you order by wholesale, let's say you order a box of tissue paper, right? You're ordering for a shul, you order a whole box, and they're missing a box of, in there, they're missing one tissue box in there. So there's no itemized bill for each individual box of tissues, for the whole shipment. So that would be one mechira, but if it's separate, then it's fine.
I ordered 2,000
ounces
of
new fabric.
There's no way I cannot use the oils in my tank.
Can't siphon it back. That's not a mitzvah. Well, technically, I hear the shot. It's a good shot, but technically, what would I, let's try to run through the dynamics here. I'm going to claim, and I'm going to say there's too little. So he has an option to be mashma. What is he going to do? He's going to say mekach tois. Well, let's see what happens if you do, let's see what happens if you're not mekach. Let's just take this step. I'm going to go to the meichan and say, look, you gave me 1,000 gallons. You're missing 1,000. The meichan is going to say either he'll be mashma and it's great, or he'll say, let's take devil's advocate. He's going to say, no, I want to call him mekach tois. So okay, go to the meichan. Okay, so you find out how to get the 1,000 gallons out of my tank. I don't know, he told me it's not possible, so what should you do? So now you're just being nana from his thing, so it's mishtarshi. So it's lad after mitzvahs mekach, you could pay him for 1,000 mitzvahs mishtarshi, nana.
No,
but
Ari's saying a case where the world went down in price.
Right.
The world went down in price now. Ari doesn't want the other 1,000 gallons. He wants to be
mishtarshi because of the 1,000. So he can tell him mekach, but the other one has the right to be mashlim. Right? According to Ramani, he always has the right to be mashlim. But yeah, but he's prorated, so he has to pay for $1,000 anyway. According to Rashi,
he has to pay for what he got.
Correct. Correct. That's true. According to Rashi, that's right. Had he not paid yet, then he could say Kimli Kirashba, and I don't want the other, right?
But you have the Ramban's thing that you can get back.
Right, but I'm... Well, you have my colleagues Ramban and Rashba. There, it works well for the Lokech to claim the Rashba, because he's Muksik, he didn't pay yet. And for him, since the price went down, he decides, let's call it a day, 1,000 gallons for half the price is fine, and I'll buy the other 1,000 gallons, I'll pick it up at a discount now, because the price went down. Then he has the right. According to Rabban, it wouldn't happen like that, but he has the right to say, I would like to hold like the Rashba, because it's a Sveka Dedina like every other Sveka. Just like we mentioned the inverted case, where it's beneficial for the Meicha to call the Mekach Tois, because the price went up, you're suggesting later Rashba, which is true, it's beneficial for the Lekeach to claim let's prorate it because the price went down. Definitely.
You prorated,
let's say in his case, he ordered, 2,000 gallons of oil and he paid $2,000, right? So let's say it wasn't itemized as $1 a gallon, but let's say he sells at certain amounts. It's true. He doesn't sell per one. If you order 1 gallon of oil, until you jump in the lake. He's not selling it to you, right? So you order 1,000 gallons of oil. He says 1,000 gallons. He's selling it for $100. So it's measured by the 1,000 gallons. Every 1,000 gallons, he's going to give it to you for $100. So and you only got 500. So that's it. So you're going to have to pay half that price.
But the more you buy, the more you pay the price.
If that would be into the case, then you might have to take that into account to prorating it. But it's going to be very difficult because the lekeach could say, "I don't want that." You're going to run into a problem. Not that I know. There is a mashmois. I'm not being honest. There is a mashmois in the Yad Ramah, not like the Avni Nezer slightly, But the Yad Rama again is in the Shitas Rashba. So, I mean, if you want a whole cup, I'll tell it to you. According to Rashba, we're talking about a case that the Mekach is Kaim no matter what. So really, this never really, you know, it's automatically not that we're going to say it's B'lai B'machila, that there's no such thing. It might be Negea, let's say, like the case where the Mekach has the item to deliver, and I could be Makbet if he's not delivering the item, that it should be a Mekach toys, and then you want to know if it's a Mechila on that claim, like you mentioned before, so then you could work with the dynamics of Avnei Nezer. But it's a slight much more. But he goes in the Shittas Rashba. In the Shittas Ramban, there's no one who's chayli. Okay, let's move on to Sif Beis, unless anyone has any other questions on Sif Aleph. Okay, let's move on to Sif Beis. Hamakabu Mois Mechaver, if someone receives money from his friend, whether it was because he paid for it for delivery, a shipment, or he took a loan and he received too much, he asked a loan of $100 and he received $120, or he paid back a loan and he paid back too much, and it was found a yisrim b'mois, the recipient received too much money. It means more money than they initially was kaveya. Afilum loy tovoy, even if the moicha is not today, it means chayiv lahachzir, the recipient is mechuyiv to return the extra money. Imhu bechdei shadat toya, provided it's a legitimate mistake. The mechab is going to give an example. Let me wait for the mechab. Da'ainu, shem yesh lechalek hamoisa oitvis leitzim asara asara. Let's say you purchase something for $40 by accident. You paid me 50 singles. The svara being, it's a legitimate mistake. Why? Because in counting, you went like this. 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. Instead of saying 30, but you're counting very quickly, your back then started again from 20. So it's 29, 20, 21, 22. So in that one mistake that you made, you automatically are going to give the meicha $10 extra, because you think you're holding by 21 when you're really supposed to be holding by 31. The Mechaz is going to give a few cases, and then we'll go more into it. Oy chamisha chamisha, or the extra that you received was divisible by five. Then achas ashtayim oitres, they're not one or two extra. She'enim boyis l'chachamish. The extra that you received are not less than divisible of five. I mean, I guess he didn't have the word divisible, but she'enim boyis l'chachamish. They don't go into the klal of chamish. So then we could say it's a legitimate mistake. Why? It's only by five. So Mechaz is going to say both. How imhem is serious if it's a mistake by 10, to ben chamishim la'aboyim, or ben aboyim l'shloishim. When he was counting, instead of saying 39.40, he said 39.30, or 49.50, he said 49.40. And then when the one shot, he was off by 10. Vimhem chamishiyos, if it's the mistake was divisible by 5, which Mechab is going to say shortly what that case is, yeshu regilim limnois hei, they used to count by 5, that is like this, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 2, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 3, 5, etc. So when he was counting like that, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 5, well, now go further. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 29 5s. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, instead of saying 30 5s, he said 20 5s. So in that one shot, he made a mistake of 10, but 10 sets of 5s. In one shot, he made a mistake of 15. That's the case. Yeshua Gim Limnus Hei Hei, Vim Hoyu Nun Hei, if it was 55, Ta'aba Sirius, he made a mistake of 10s. Commotion is bar over chamish oitvayis, and with the additional five, tar ben shloisha chamishias la'arba. So besides saying 29 5s, 30 5s, he went back to 20. It was a mistake of 51 shot. He also stamazai. He while he was counting 56 5s, 1 2 3 4 5, instead of saying 57 5s, he again said 56 5s, because it's confusing. He's going 1 2 3 4 5 in between every number. It gets very confusing. Then oitvayis tezvav uchafei. If it was extra 15 to 25, tar gimu pamim, he made a mistake 3 times. Oi chamish pamim bechamishias, or 5 times 5, and that's how he got to his number. Avam oitvayis ala chamishias achas eshtayim oishleisha yabosh en magis chamish. But if the addition that he received was more than the chamishias by 1, 2, 3, or 4, namely it was not divisible by 5, and it wasn't the norm to count 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 1, 2, 3, 4, 2, etc. They didn't count by 4s. It was either counting by 5s or counting normal. Then kula matana, we have to assume that it was an automatic matana. Because if I said 100 and you gave me 122, there's no reason you give me the 122 other than you would like to slip me money. Over vad, provided shemoisi sam shemotza lo yu b'minin ha-chamishiyah soya series. This is another chap that was customary then, it's not today, is that they used to count like this, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10,
gets confusing to keep the cheshbon, how many tens. So he said, take another coin, put it on the side of the table. Okay, this is a simon that it's one set of tens. When I finished my second set of tens, I took out another coin, a separate coin, and that was two. And now let's say I'm holding by 80, so now I have 8 coins on the side, plus the 80 on the left, and by accident, I mished all into the bag, and now you've got 88, and that's how you made a toy. So the toy was the series of chamishias, because I used to count and use a coin as a simon to document how many sets of 10 they were holding by. Which is, by the way, Pshat, the Rashbam says Pshat in, by the Shvatim, when they went down to Mitzrayim, and there was made a mistake, and they got back the money in the Amtachas. So Yaakov Avinu said it was Ulam Mishkehu. If you look at the Rashbam, Rashbam says this is a Pshat. Pshat is that they took the money, because when you gave the money, and I guess they kept on passing along to whoever did the filling, and they used the money as a simit to know how many pounds of tfu you ordered. And by accident, when he mished the tfu and the money, everything went back into the sack. That's how the Rashbam went Pshat in the Pasuk. All right. If it was b'minyanim, that it was 80 plus 8, so it came out to 88, or 40 plus 8, it was 48. Let's say I use this simonim as sets of 5. So it was b'minyanim of the sets. Maybe the money that it used as a simonim by accident got mixed in with the goods. Granted, there is a shiloh. It's a good point. If it's b'havar, there is a problem. There's going to be a shiloh. I would like to not get into it. There's a long chavis das in Ribis that discusses it. But there's a way out. But let's leave it at that. But let's take a case of mechel. There is no halvah. Keep it at that. It will be easier. Or the halvah, if I extended you the halvah and I gave you too much money, I was extending you a larger loan. I saw you were desperate. You asked for $100. I knew that you could use $120. I slipped you another $20. Sorry? No, it's not a paymore because I only was machayv you 100. I slipped you the extra 20, but there is matana. That I'm the mava giving the loiva. Yeah, okay. That case, that's a shaila in the case. I don't want to get into it, but there's going, yes, they are more with the problem.
Well, can't you say that you forgot how much he owes?
When you paid him back.
Yeah.
Okay. If that's shayich, then you feel that the expectation does tayer, then possibly. Possibly that will be. This is all Matthias. It's considered back the marshal. This last thing of counting b'minyanim, the Rashbam, whatever, this type of thing, which we don't do today, if you find 88 and you're supposed to get 80, then we don't assume that you made this choice because it's not customary to count like that. Sorry?
We count 1-2.
We count 1-2. Generally, we count 1-2. And but let's be medayik from the Mechaba because we're about to see Ramah Faket. But let's be medayik from the Mechaba. Then when you count 1-2, the only acceptable toys is by tens. 29-20, 39-30. But to make a mistake, 1-2-3-4-5-5, that's not an acceptable tayis. That's not confusing enough, and a machabo, that's not a tayis. The machlok is we show them. For some reason, that's meduik and Rashi. Machabo is going like Rashi. And now comes along the Ramah, which is very unique. I think it's the only time that I know of that the roles are reversed. Hagah, uvamakam shirgilim limnais achas achas, oy shnaim shnaim uchayetze bizeh, which is today. That everything now, the Ramah just pulled, that's it, throughout this halakha, everything's considered a tois today. Because we count by ones, everything goes. It's funny why the Ramah didn't say v'yeshayim, it's a problem with the Ramah, because he's really arguing with the Mechaba. The Mechaba is meduyik that by counting normally, the only tois you're going to make is that serious. And which is unique, is this Ramah goes like the Rambam. Mechaba is going like Rashi, they took a reverse here, but that comes out to be a machlokes. I should add that let's say today, let me give you both ways. Let's say the toyis is not, instead of giving me 40, you gave me 80. Now, you can tell that the guy is klutzy and clumsy, but he's not going to make this mistake 40 times. So it's b'chdeish enadas toyis. A person doesn't make, you're off by one mistake, three mistakes. Machab even gives you 5 times 5, 5 mistakes when you're counting large numbers. But if you're counting a small amount of money and you made so many mistakes, it's very unusual, very unlikely, and therefore we assume it's b'chdeish enadas toyis, and really you insisted to give a matana.
Now,
so you can make that as one. Or you can go by tens, whatever you're counting. So if you're counting in denominations of 10, then it goes together there. But to tell me that I'm counting 40, you made this problem 40 additional times, is a problem. Okay, so if that's what you have in those denominations, means you're working in denominations of 20, so you only need 2 mistakes. I'm saying if you needed more than a few mistakes to reach, to solve this mystery, that's Bechdeish Nedas Toyim. Okay, that's what I'm just about to say right now. The Aruch HaShulchan points out that this is a problem only when you're making a mistake in counting. So then you have to know, is it divisible by 5, divisible by 10? Are you usual to make normal mistakes? But the Aruch HaShulchan said when all the dollars are the same size, same everything, it's just different denominations written on it, then he says everything now is considered B'kdei Shahadas Toya. I mean, if it works out with the numbers, you have to look at the numbers, but it usually works out. Is everything considered B'kdei Shahadas Toya? Because it's very easy to give 100, let's say, or it's very easy, but it's possible you gave 100 instead of a 1. We'll take the extreme. That's possible. It's the same dollar, same size, same everything. But Pesach Chayshim points out that he wonders, let's say in Eretz Yisrael or Lavdal in Canada, where there are different colors on the bills, if that's an accepted excuse. In America, where everything is green and it's just different numbers, maybe different pictures, slightly different pictures on it. Now the pictures became bigger, but that's considered.
Somebody has to pay you back $1,000. He gives you a pack of 110 dollar bills. So obviously, he's paying you back a $10 bill, and there happens to be an extra $5 bill in that pack.
Maybe
$1,005.
Okay, if it's, the gentleman pointed out before, maybe it was stuck together.
Okay, so everything is tens, and there has to be a 5 in there. What's the 5 in there?
So he wants to slip you an extra 5. He's a bad, if you're trying to slip him, he's doing a bad job, but yeah, it could be. You're right. And a that would be maybe Bukhdeshina, that's why you'll be a matana.
That's why I have to go ahead and tell him about it.
Right. And a maybe you don't. If that's considered, you, every situation is different. If such a situation, if you could create a situation as Bukhdeshina, that's why you're not mukhif to say. I must add, actually, that the Rishonim, it's Makhlik's Rishonim, but that's how we pass it, that's only do I have to take the initiative. But Yena, if Yen has realized afterwards, one second, he's missing, like to your case, he's missing a $5 bill, and he comes to you and he says, look, I probably slipped it to you by accident, give it back to me, and then he's Neman, and you have to give it back. That's for being Bari Vishem or Bari Adif. It's a problem, we don't say Bari Vishem, Bari Adif to be Maitzi Momin. The Akronim discuss why this not doesn't apply over here. The Gemara adds that this is not only by Matona. Let's say the guy gave it to you, and you know that the guy is not the most benevolent person. He's not so generous. He's not going to give him a matana. I don't even know who he is. I have no reason to be toiled on a matana. Well, the Gemara takes it one step further and says, well, if he's not giving it to matana, maybe he actually stole the money from you and he's ashamed to give it back to you. So he's slipping it into you like this, and it's a chazara. And again, I don't have to give it back to him because it's b'chdesh in adas toya. The Gemara goes on. What happens if a person you never had any dealings with, it's unlikely that they even stole from you. Well, the Gemara says, suggest, which is obviously advice of the Gemara, it's more likely that maybe someone else stole from you, was embarrassed, and knew that you're doing a deal with this guy, he slipped him the money to slip it to you, and therefore everything is considered b'kdeshan and that's it. It's automatically a matana or hashavas gzela, whatever it is, but you're allowed to keep that extra money. From one way or another, but you're allowed to keep that extra money. Now the Ramiuchas Adva has a problem. Why are we... Sorry? No, it's b'kdesh en adas toya, so I could... In your case, I could assume that even if he's not giving me matana, someone else is trying to give me matana, or he's trying to give me back zela, whatever it is, and I'm allowed to keep the money. If it's b'kdesh en adas toya. If it's b'kdesh adas toya, because...
Somebody owes you $100, and they give you 100 singles, but no, there's 5 more singles in there. So according to the Akshuchim, you're saying that was deep.
Oh, no, the Akshuchim has nothing to do with the Akshuchim is only the denomination, not the amount of mistakes. That's Machlokes Mechaber Amar. If you count by ones, and you counted 100 ones...
There was
$10,
and there was extra $3 in there.
And extra $3, and it makes no sense it should be. This is B'chdesh, and I does tell you, so you're allowed to keep it. You never had any dealings with this guy.
10, which is yes,
a
reason to be.
Right, if it's yes, a reason, you got to give it back.
Maybe
you made a valid, a legitimate mistake, so you have to do the initiative, you have to take the initiative and give it to him. But if you didn't make a valid mistake, then you're not mechuyev to initiate the process, but he could be toveya. The Miuchas Adva wants to know what's going on here. Okay, why are we assuming? We're taking a line on our places. We're assuming that he made this cheshbon. He wanted to give me matana. And if I don't have to tell him that he gave me extra, what hurts? It's one phone call. Just tell him that, by the way, you gave me extra money. Maybe you made the mistake. He'll say, no, I didn't make the mistake. I would like to suggest the following terrace. I think it's reasonable to say, is why is the person slipping you the money in the first place? Either, let's take the extreme, Hashavas Gzel, he's embarrassed, so he slipped you the money to give you back Hashavas Gzel. So what are you going to do? You're going to say, Reuven, you gave me an extra $10, why are you giving me the extra $10? What's the guy going to say? Because I stole from you? The only reason why he did this in the first place is because he's embarrassed and he wouldn't like to admit it. So if you're going to tell him, you made a mistake, he's going to bite his lip and say, oh, Yitaka, I made a mistake, give me back the money, when really that wasn't the case. He really meant to give it to you. Or even Matana, maybe he wants to give you Matana, but there's COVID. So if you're going to press him for it, what are you doing this mistake? Why did you do this? And he's going to say, you're right, I made a mistake, give it back. I just had I had this mitzvah personally about 2 months ago. And you press him, and he's like biting in his head. Oh, yeah, I made a mistake. You know, there's a problem there. So therefore, we, instead of pressing him, because it's not going to help you anyway, because whatever tshuva he's going to give you is not the emes tshuva. So therefore, we can just rely on the fact that it's b'kadei she'ena das toya, we have to assume it's a matana, and you're allowed to keep it. Now, let's stop here.
For other tapes by Rabbi Kahan, or for additional information, please contact Beis Din Meisharim at 732-905-3388. Thank you.